Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
Today we begin a new series called Circle of Influence. Throughout this series, we're going to look at how we as individuals are influenced and how we influence others. How we can work on building up our influence and going out and influencing this world for the kingdom of God. Now, we often view ourselves as individuals who make conscious decisions and then go out and do what we want. But what we often ignore is how much our different contexts influence how we see this world. For example, if you and I were to read the same short story and had to reflect on it, we would highlight different things. We would understand the characters differently, and we would pull different lessons from the story. That's because we have different contexts. And we need to be aware of those differences because it helps us understand each other better. Our contexts are comprised of a lot of different aspects of our lives. And while we might share a similar context with someone, it's still different because you're you and they're them. When we think of our contexts, I want us to reflect on how different perspectives have helped us throughout our lives. When did we interact with someone from a different context that challenged us? Did a truth we knew change because of it? Or do we only listen to those who agree with us? Or when we listen to someone with a different perspective, do we just write them off? Well, there's a story in 2 Chronicles that illustrates this well. King Solomon is dead, and now it's time for the ascension of his son, Rehoboam, to the throne. Shortly after he's pronounced king, Rehoboam is approached by his people. It continues in chapter 10. They sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all Israel came and said to Rehoboam, "Your father made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke that he placed on us, and we will serve you." He said to them, "Come to me again in 3 days." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam took counsel with the older men who had attended his father Solomon while he was still alive, saying, "How do you advise me to answer these people?" Let's pause here just for a second. Right off the bat, Rehoboam gets hit with this dilemma, and just like we do, he seeks out advice. Now notice who he goes to first is his father's advisors. And in Scripture, Solomon's a very wise king. And so we can assume that he picked some good advisors. So far, so good. So let's see how they answer. They answered him, "If you will be kind to these people and please them and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever." But he rejected the advice that the older man gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and now attended him. He said to them, "What do you advise that we answer these people who have said to me, 'Lighten the yoke your father put on us'?" The young men who had grown up with him said to him, "Thus should you speak to the people who said to you, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, but you must lighten it for us.' Tell them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's loins. Now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions.'" So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, as the king has said, "Come again on the third day." The king answered them harshly. King Rehoboam rejected the advice of the older men. He spoke to them in accordance with the advice of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to it. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions." So Rehoboam listens to the young men, to his buddies, and then this is the result. When King Rehoboam sent Hadoram, who's the taskmaster over the forced labor, the people of Israel stoned him to death. King Rehoboam hurriedly mounted his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. Because Rehoboam took this dangerous advice and listened to the wrong people, the kingdom of Israel became divided. This is where it becomes the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. Then, because this kingdom becomes divided, the northern kingdom is subjugated by the Assyrian Empire, and the Assyrians have an easier time because of Israel's weakened state. Now, we don't know exactly why Rehoboam decided to reject the older men and listen to his young advisors, but one of the popular reasons is that he didn't like the idea of letting up on the Israelites, and he wanted to consolidate his power as the new king. So the young men told Rehoboam what he wanted to hear. And basically, he surrounded himself with yes men. And because he built this echo chamber around him, the whole kingdom was weakened and ultimately suffered. And a remnant just gets left behind. There was great destruction that happened because he didn't take the time to evaluate how he was being influenced. And we're all guilty of listening to voices that keep us comfortable, that don't challenge us to change, and we make choices based on these bad influences. And while whole kingdoms might not be resting on our shoulders, our communities, our workplaces, and our families, and our future communities, workplaces, and families will be affected by the choices that we make. This is why it's so important to be careful about who's influencing us, because in turn, we go out and influence others, and that has real-world effects. So how do we make sure we're listening to the right voices? Well, I believe that we can judge the voices around us through an ethic of love. Firstly, I want to say that this is not foolproof. This is just a starting point, and mistakes will still be made. But I believe that when we err on the side of love and grace, it's better than being judgmental and harsh. Now, for me, the ethic of love is based on the greatest commandment, which, of course, is love God with all your being and love your neighbor as yourself. Therefore, we must test the influences around us against this. I'll give two short examples here. The first concerns loving God. If someone or something is telling me to put something in front of my relationship with God, such as starting my day by scrolling through my phone in the morning instead of starting the day with prayer, that's a bad influence. Because I'm choosing to be entertained rather than spending some time with God. Or perhaps I'm choosing to skip out on worshiping on a Sunday morning with the community of God because of a sports event or because we're just too busy. The second example concerns loving our neighbor as ourselves. An easy example is when we're told to hate someone because they're different than us. Either they live differently, believe differently, or what have you. Obviously, we're not supposed to do that. But let's bring some nuance into this because I can't let y'all off too easy here. When a voice tells us to put ourselves before our neighbor, that goes against what Jesus is teaching here. Because loving your neighbor as yourself is not putting yourself first and then taking care of your neighbor. It's about caring for your neighbor in the same manner that you take care of yourself. We make sure that we have enough food to eat. We make sure that we have clothes, a roof over our head, and all the other things. So shouldn't we also make sure that our neighbors have the same? Through this ethic of love, we can begin to judge whether or not we're allowing ourselves to be influenced well, either by friends or family, to the news broadcasts and politicians. Now that we have a tool to help us understand how we're influenced, we need to look at how we're influencing others. And guess what? We're going to use that same ethic of love here. Because if we're called to love God with all of our being and love our neighbor as ourselves, then we need to call others to do the same. So how are we influencing those around us? How are we treating and teaching our communities? Are we using this ethic of love? Or are we just perpetrating what the world wants us to? When we go into our workplaces, are we being the salt and light of the earth that we're supposed to be? Are we pushing our families to engage in kingdom work? Are we supporting and interacting with our communities? All of these questions are so important to ask of ourselves because they help us gauge whether or not we're living into our call as Christians. And this is hard work, because if it was easy, everyone would do it. We need to make sure that we're raising our children to understand this ethic of love and to go out and live into God's calling on their lives. We must guide them and work with them. Part of that is making sure that they're being influenced well. With social media, TV, and clashing cultures all around them, are they listening to an ethic of love? Is our voice and influence being drowned out by their distractions? Have we packed our family schedules so full that we don't have meaningful time with our children? Have we focused on getting ahead in our workplace so that we've ignored the needs of our coworkers? Do we build up each other within our work? Do we encourage those around us to live into this ethic of love? In our communities, are we doing what we can to support each other? Can I get real for a second? You might be sitting there and thinking, cool, Joe, this is real idealistic of you to believe that we can all do this, that every one of us can live into this ethic of love. But that's just not how the world works. And you know what? You're right. That's not how this world works. This world doesn't want us to listen to each other, to care for our neighbor's needs. I mean, you just take a look throughout history, even just our American history, and it's plain to see that we don't listen to each other. There were those in power that were so willing to defend the institution of slavery that they were willing to sacrifice others' lives to protect it and even split this country apart over it. And then after the Civil War was finished, we still didn't listen to each other because Jim and Jane Crow laws allowed segregation and hate to run rampant throughout this country, leading to such practices as redlining and job discrimination, which for generations kept families and communities of color in poverty and kept them from being educated. The death and destruction that was brought about because of blind hate and the blind following of that hate is still felt to this very day. This is how the world works. But it's not how the kingdom of God works. The kingdom of God is supposed to be a place where everyone has what they need, where we have our daily bread, where we're forgiven of our debts just as we forgive others, where temptation is defeated and justice reigns. We're called to bring heaven to earth. We're called to be the ones who stand up to the injustices and evils of this world and change it so that others might know the love of God, the life of God, and the liberation of God. This is what's at stake here. When we're not mindful of how we're being influenced, when we're not mindful how we're influencing others, we can't do the kingdom work we're called to do. So, as we go throughout our week, our month, our lives, look at who's trying to speak into our lives. Look at how we're speaking into others' lives. Are we promoting this ethic of love? Are those speaking into our lives following an ethic of love? Or are we breeding more disdain, division, and destruction instead of promoting the life-giving, loving, and liberating work of the kingdom of God? Let's pray. Lord, in this moment, we come to you and we ask for wisdom. We ask for guidance. As we go out and we listen to the voices around us, I pray that you show us who to listen to, how we've been fed into by those around us, and how we pour into others. Highlight those ways that we can do it closer to your work, closer to your standard. Lord, I pray that as we go out into our communities, into our families, you continue to push us to live into that ethic of love that you commanded us to. And I pray that you show us all the opportunities that we've been missing so that we can act on it. So that we don't just sit here and receive, but we can go out and respond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless and have a great week.